Good afternoon, Juno, and we are back from our commercial break. I am your host for today's show, Christina Michelle, a member of the Black Awareness Association of Juno. And today's Juno Afternoon is a collaboration of Black Awareness Association of Juno and KTOO. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with two guests who are here with us via Zoom from Los Angeles, California, Miss Lori Grace, who is a music teacher and the founder of Lori Grace Music and Future Stars, and Mr. Charles E. Dickerson III, who's the founder, executive director, and conductor of the Inner City Youth Orchestra of Los Angeles. For the first part of the show, we've just been discussing African Americans in music, and we're just going to jump back into that conversation. One question that I would like to ask is, earlier in the segment, I had said that I had just learned about the message and how it was actually sampled, how their song was sampled later on by, I think it was Puff Daddy and Mace, or one or both of them. And I'm wondering, are there other songs that we, maybe the younger generation, have heard and that they were recorded by white artists that actually originated with African American artists? I hope that question makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
That was a mouthful. And in particular, just as I was preparing for the interview today, I learned that the hook to Bad to the Bone by George Thorogood, that that was the first time I heard it, Bad to the Bone, you know. And I learned that it was actually sampled from Manish Boy by Muddy Waters, and that came out in 1954. So,
You know, from the beginning of time, I mean, you know, Pat Boone made a lot of money off of us, Elvis Presley. You know, there's a number of artists, but, you know, one man in particular, Solomon Linda, in 1939, this song has been recorded and redone and covered by several white artists, and they are just now, his family is just now getting their due in court with Disney, because the song The Lion Sleeps Tonight, Solomon Linda, 1939, made this song, and so many white artists, Pete Seeger, I mean, you name it, several white artists have covered this song. If you go to YouTube now, I just looked down at YouTube, the first hit on there for The Lion Sleeps Tonight is a group called The Tokens, and this song was created in 1939. The Beach Boys had great success with this song, and this man's family did not see a dime, but when it went to Lion King, Disney had, there is a feature film about it on Netflix that talks about this. But anyway, our music has always been sampled. You know, some people may think about Twist and Shout and say, well, the Beatles recorded Twist and Shout, but it was originally written and recorded by the Isley Brothers.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Wow.
Yes, it's an Isley Brothers original. And he says it every time he does a show. You know, you make me want to shout. All of that. Throw your hands up and shout. Yes. You know, we hear these songs at games. And our music has always been borrowed. I think that it still is. Several cases recently of the Marvin Gaye family. Going after Sheeran, going after Robin Thicke. So, yeah. You know, Bruno Mars has even gotten in a little bit of trouble with the Gap Band. So, you know, music has been borrowed, if we will, for a long time. And I doubt if we, we'll keep seeing it. You know, I think if somebody thinks that they can get away with it, they're going to go ahead and certainly try.
Interesting. I love the word borrowed. Love it.
I'd like to add one little thing here real quickly.
Yes, sir.
Anton Dvorak in the classical world was a composer who was born in Czechoslovakia, but who came to the United States in his 20s. And it might not have been in his 20s, but he came to the United States went to New York and picked up with a fellow by the name of H.T. Burley. And Mr. Burley was a black man who was a great singer and a great composer. One of the symphonies that Dvorak wrote is called the Symphony from the New World. It's the ninth symphony of Antonin Dvorak. The second movement of that particular piece is a Negro spiritual. H.T. Burley used to sing the spirituals to Dvorak. One of them is the spiritual Going Home. Going home, going home, I am going home. It's really sung around about funerals and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Dvorak took that very melody and made it into the second movement of the New World Symphony. So, you know, folks have been taking music from black composers and black people and the black experience throughout history.
Yeah.
And been regrettable. I guess it's a good thing that they're blowing our music up, but it's regrettable that we have not enjoyed the financial benefit of a lot of these kinds of borrowings.
Yes, yeah. We'll just clear our throats on that and toss our hair. All right. If you are just joining us today, we are here having a discussion about the history of Black music in the United States and around the world. We're here with Miss Lori Grace from Los Angeles, California, and Mr. Charles E. Dickerson, also from Los Angeles, California. I'm wondering, what would you like to see more of in the music industry, especially pertaining to opportunities for Blacks?
You know, I'd like to see the music industry invest back in our schools with our children, invest instruments, invest music equipment, because, you know, we have a lot of talented kids who, you know, we grow up from the womb, you know, interested in music. You know, a lot of us sing church choirs as children. There's instruments at church, but there are a lot of times instruments are not at home.
Yeah.
And our school system has somewhat kicked music out because, you know, of funding. And so if our music industry would take the opportunity to reinvest in our children, even with some of the electronic equipment where kids are like, they like to make, they say, the beat, you know, software and computers where these kids can create to do this. I think that it would do a great service to our young people. And I would love to see the industry reinvest in inner city schools across the country because our kids are so dynamic and they love music so much. And to have this early start, it takes about 20 years, you know, to really saturate yourself and
yes.
become great if you're a musician, if you're going to be a guitarist. And by the time the kid gets an instrument in their hand and they, let's just say they want to go to college, you know, like kids in Charles' orchestra, violins are hard to come by or buy the strings that can, you know, to restring the violins or the cellos at these schools and not let them just sit there because, you know, nobody is repairing them or putting them back to good use.
Yes.
That's what I would like to see.
Thank you so much for that. I'm wondering here as we close out this part of the segment, if our listeners want to become more familiar with influential Black singers, writers, and musicians, Miss Lori, where would you suggest that they start?
You know, it is often said that Ella Fitzgerald is our key to all of these contemporary singers, that there is a touch of Ella in every, you know, new singer. But go back and listen to the singers that have made the singers that we are today, you know, people like Ella Fitzgerald, Nancy Wilson,
yes.
you know, and then you have to move up the timeline and listen to, you know, people who were going to Dinah Washington and Natalie Cole, Patti Austin, and Chaka Khan and Aretha Franklin. You got to go back and get this because this is a rich part of our history because these ladies, you know, were part of growing up listening to music that came out of the 40s, listening to Ella and our singers today, people like Alicia Keys, her, Lauryn Hill, you know, there's a touch, Ledisi. If you listen to Ledisi, boy, you listen to a young Chaka Khan again. And so you have to go back because you're getting parts of it today anyway. And I cannot forget Nina Simone. I mean, my goodness.
Yes.
We're singing a lot of her standards. And Nina was an entity in all of her own, you know, being a pianist, a classically trained pianist. And what she had to do to become, you know, to get work and how she said what she wanted to say in her music, singing and playing. And so we people like Michael Bublé who are covering, you know, Feeling Good, you know, people who are, you know, singing songs of Nina Simone. So they can take a listen back at some of those good singers like that. Sure.
Excellent. Thank you. And thank you for mentioning Nina Simone. She is one who I have been listening to more and more lately. And actually her song, I don't know if I can say this on the radio. If not, then we'll bleep it out. But Mississippi. I never heard that song until recently. And
yeah.
And really it just, I liken it to kind of the NWA's F the Police, but of the 60s kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, she said Alabama got me so upset.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and that was after the bombing of the young girls in the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and Childish Gambino made a song about, you know, the killing of what happened in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, we are still writing music about what we see and what's happening to our people. And I'm so glad that Nina Simone did that.
Yes.
And I'm glad that Childish Gambino said, this is America.
Absolutely. You know?
And you have to see the images of what he does in the video to really understand what he means by this is America, but we can definitely still see it with things like what's happening with, you know, with the death of George Floyd and mm-hmm. Ahmaud Arbery and the list goes on, Trayvon Martin, and the list goes on and the list goes on.
Excellent. Thank you. What a wonderful answer. Thank you, Miss Lori. Can you share what is coming up next for you? What projects you're working on? What are you excited about?
I am excited about this book that I'm working on. I also work with the Heritage Music Foundation. The founder of this organization is Margaret DeRoe, the songwriter, the gospel songwriter. And I've been putting a calendar together with my team. This will be our third year of gospel musicians that have made great contributions to gospel music. And I have been, because I'm a musician in my heart, I've been wanting to do a book on the gospel musicians who make it happen, because Sunday after Sunday, I think that they are the unsung heroes in their churches. And we listen to recordings, and without these musicians, you know, there is no service. There is no worship service. And so I'm calling this book The Musicians.
Okay.
Because a lot of them create a lot of magic on these recordings where, you know, there are licks that we try to recreate or redo. And so I'm doing a table book that talks about the musicians and the bass players, the organists, the piano players, the ones past, present, and the ones that are coming in the future. Because I think it's important that we know who's behind the music. You know, these directors have people. I love Ricky Dillard from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a great team of musicians playing. So I plan to go across the United States and find all the musicians, because they create some magic and
yes.
make this look. So that's on the horizon. It may take me a little while, but it's definitely already in the works.
Excellent. And our viewers can't see, but Miss Lori is just lit up like a light bulb talking about this. And it just lights me up too. How exciting. I am so excited for you. Wonderful.
Thank you.
How can our listeners connect with, support, and get more information about you and your organization?
Okay, Future Stars, you know, we do a fundraiser each year to send kids to college. And so we have a PayPal account, and it's Future Stars. If you go to PayPal, it's Future Stars, and we would appreciate any donation. My email address is gracenote07@yahoo.com. And, you know, webpage is under construction, but we are making some things happen for our young people to go to college. At least we're buying books, You know, and this year we were able to give away 3 scholarships to 3 deserving young people who went to two to a historical black college, and one young lady who wanted to start going to school for dentistry. So very excited about what we're getting a chance to do in the lives of young people today.
Excellent. And is it okay if we post the YouTube link for Future Stars to our page, that video that showed the three
absolutely.
Students? Okay,
absolutely.
Excellent. We'll do that there too. Okay. Well, I know that Miss Lori has another engagement to run to. You have been incredibly generous with your time already. I appreciate it. So we're going to
thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. And we are going to continue the conversation when we come back with Mr. Charles E. Dickerson III. Thank you, Miss Lori.
Thanks so much. Love you both.
Love you too.